Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, pontificate, just shut up. Why won't you listen? Why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good morning and good afternoon. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1. Welcome to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. It's Wednesday, October 4th, 2017. On Sunday night, October 1st, we saw an atrocity in the United States of America. It's sad to say that we've seen these atrocities before, but this one is what happened on Sunday. The worst mass shooting in U.S. history, 59 dead, over 527 wounded, spraying bullets into a crowd of 20,000 people. I have a lot to get to today. We're going to talk about the Las Vegas shooting, and the question is, how do you talk about it? And I have some ideas. And then if there's time, because it is related, and I'm going to tell you why, we're going to talk about this ongoing NFL anthem controversy. Some stuff happened since last when I spoke with you. And it strikes me how they're related and connected in what I see as profound ways. First, I want to talk about a few personal reflections, and I know you have some too, and I'm going to be looking for your reflections. I'll give out the phone number in a little bit. When this happened, when I first heard about it, I said to my partner, my father would never believe what has happened to our country. And he said, neither would mine. Then he said, hell, I don't believe it. An American citizen picking off people in a crowd with an automatic weapon. It seemed like a very reminiscent scene from Schindler's List. And I always thought that that was incomprehensible, that that could happen in America. Now it's not so comprehensible. And then the usual things happened, people politicizing it for their own gain, people turning it into a certain narrative that fits their worldview before the bodies were even sent to the morgue. Race politics, gun control. Were they white? Were they black? Were they conservative? Were they liberal? All the predictable reactions, seeing people only as a member of a group, not as human beings bleeding in Las Vegas. Those in charge made snap judgments. They wanted to tell us with phony reassurances, because we're used to them, it's not terrorism. It's not more than one gunman. How did they know? How do they know so quickly? Well, I can understand that they wanted to prevent chaos. They wanted to prevent fear and all of that. But it's a fearful, frightening situation. And the hard truth is we didn't know. And there is a whole bunch now on this Wednesday. We still don't know. There was a lot of jumping to conclusions that I saw. I was stunned, I was horrified, and I didn't have anybody that I knew personally. Think of the people that did. Think of the people whose loved ones didn't come home. So I'm horrified in my own way, and we've all been touched in many ways. When I think about jumping to conclusions, I'm reminded of one of the greatest books I think I've ever read. I used to give them away as presents all the time. And it's truly a profound book. It happens to be a children's book. It's not Alice in Wonderland, but it has the same basic tenets that it's really an adult book written for children. It's called The Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Juster. Brilliant, brilliant book with illustrations, I might add. So I thought about the place in the book where Milo, the kid, ends up in a place he didn't expect. He talks to someone and he says, you're on the island of conclusions. Make yourself at home. You're apt to be here for some time. But how did we get here? Asked Milo. who was still a little puzzled by being there at all. "Well, you jumped, of course," explained Canby. "That's the way most everyone gets here. It's really quite simple. Every time you decide something without having a good reason, you jump to conclusions, whether you like it or not. It's such an easy trip to make that I've been there hundreds of times." And it's not a very pleasant place, Canby explains, but it's very hard to get off of conclusions. You can't get back the same way you came. And that's why it's so crowded there, because you can't just jump back from conclusions. What do you have to do? You have to swim through the river of knowledge to get there. Is that brilliant? I highly recommend this book. I'm not going to read any more right now. We have so much to get to. The Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Juster. Pick it up for your kids. It has such profundity. I have more reactions, a lot, that I want to get to. But first, I want to give you the phone number so that you can join in. It's going to be a little bit, but come in, stay on hold for a little bit, and I promise I will get to your call. You can call me toll-free at 888-627-6008, or if you'd like to call direct and you have one of those free long distance, remember the old days when you had to pay by the minute, you can call 323-744-4831. So here's my take. Just like when families are dividing up property when someone dies, there is something so unseemly, something so horrible that I am sorry to say I've watched many times. You get to see what people are really like when they're presented with a crisis or with a trauma. When families are divvying up the goods, some people get ugly and nasty and greedy and jealous, and other people just want to give you whatever you want. Unfortunately, if you had a death in the family, you know that that is not an uncommon thing. So we saw the good, the bad, and the ugly. First, the good. We saw heroism. Amazing heroism. This is just a little of what we saw that's coming out right now, and it is hardly all the stories we're going to see. Taylor Winston, a 29-year-old Marine veteran from San Diego, told CBS he was dancing the two-step with his girlfriend moments before the shots rang out. After climbing over a fence to safety, Winston and a friend looked for ways to help those in danger. Winston checked nearby trucks for keys. First one we tried opening had keys sitting right there. I started looking for people to take to the hospital. There was just too many, and it was overwhelming how much blood there was everywhere. He looked for victims with the most serious injuries first. He loaded them into the truck bed and drove them to Desert Springs Hospital Medical Center. He made two trips before the ambulances arrived on the scene. Here's another one. Dawn Marie and Kevin Gray took cover inside a VIP area. They won tickets to the Country Music Festival through a Portland radio station. When the gunfire stopped, they stayed behind to help others. A field of bodies. Having worked as a paramedic, she knew local paramedics couldn't get there until it was safe to do so. So they provided CPR, tourniquets, holding pressure. And the Grays weren't alone. They were joined by off-duty doctors and nurses who happened to be at the concert. And here's what she said when someone asked her. "That's being a human being," said Dawn Marie. "That's doing our job." Another man rushed 30 people to safety before he was shot in the neck. He might live with a bullet for the rest of his life. He also has a bruised lung, cracked rib, and fractured collarbone. Another woman became a human shield to protect her 4-year-old daughter during Las Vegas's concert massacre. People were waiting 8 hours in line to give blood. And right before we saw a video that said that showed 20,000 people, give or take, God bless America, with candles hours before they were shot, hours before some people wouldn't come home, hours before that man probably watched all of those people decide and decided to kill them. Here's the bad and the ugly. I've decided to coin a new phrase. It's called LDC, Liberalist Dominated Culture. And I call it that because it isn't just liberals doing it. We're living in a liberalist dominated culture, a culture that tells you what are the right values to have. Some Republicans have LDC. Some Democrats, a lot of Democrats have LDC. Here's the narrative. They must create a narrative knee-jerk reaction, and it's like they all got the memo at the same time. This is the left. Gun control narrative. That's what they want to drive this massacre around. So, and they always talk about dog whistles, and they got the memo. And what is it? The memo is talk about guns, guns, guns. So because I'm not living in the LDC, the liberalist dominated culture, I'm not going to talk about guns. If you call me and you'd like to talk about it, I'll be more than happy to talk about it with you. But that's where they want us to go. That's not where I'm going to go. Think about it. When the perpetrator is white with no apparent Muslim connection, they go for guns is the narrative. When the perpetrator is very obviously Muslim, they go for Islamophobia. When the perpetrator is a leftist sympathizer, which they try very hard to squash, as in the guy that shot up the baseball field in Washington, D.C., and wounded very seriously Stephen Scalise, well, of course, he was mentally ill. We still know nothing. There are conjectures and jumping to conclusions everywhere. But it could be almost anything still. It could be, except for the color of his skin, he could still be a Muslim sympathizer. He could still be a leftist, or he could be mentally ill. But you see the narrative still going strong. Or how are they going to respond if he is a Muslim sympathizer? Well, he's a lone wolf. This race politics that the left is perpetrating with their liberalist dominated culture is poison. It's killing us and killing the country. What do they see? The first thing they want to see is the race, the color, the gender. That's all they see. This is what racism looks like. Snap judgments about a mass murderer because of the color of their skin. Aren't they the ones that are always talking about you're not supposed to profile people? Well, in fact, we profile when we shouldn't. And then we don't profile when we should. When we don't have information about the individual, about who this person is and what the kind of decisions that they made before they decided to spray bullets into a crowd of 20,000 people, we've got to wait for information. Here's another thing. We're not allowed to be offended, but they can be. We're not allowed to be victims, but the left always is. Even innocent people in death are not victims. I want to read this to you. CBS, I'm sure you probably heard this story. CBS executive, she's an attorney. A CBS attorney was fired because after the shooting, she decided that the victims lying dead, and they had hardly, their bodies not even cold yet, didn't deserve any sympathy because they were mostly Republican. She said, well, the victims of the shooting, she had not even any sympathy for them because they're country music fans and they're often Republicans. In fact, I think she said Repugs. This is what she tweeted. If they wouldn't do anything with children who were murdered, I have no hope that Repugs will ever do the right thing. She wrote in a now deleted message that was reported and captured by the Daily Caller. At that point so far, this woman decides that people who went to a country music concert deserve to get killed. She has no sympathy for them. It's so incomprehensible to me, and yet this kind of altered meaning of words, immediate knee-jerk reactions going to the politics, no sympathy, no compassion from the compassion crowd. She didn't even know what she said, but what she really did was she told the truth. This is irrational hatred. It's not just ideas anymore. Inciting irrational hatred. It's about inhumanity. And what was it, whatever were the motive, was the motive, and there was a lot of motive that we're going to find out. People don't just plan that months in advance and don't have a motive. There's a motive. But what is it at the core? It's inhumanity. It's being so detached from any sense of humanity, any sense of compassion. You're not pontificating about compassion. You're just having it. That's how these things can happen. It's very, very disturbing, and it's bad and ugly. Jimmy Kimmel. Here's what Jimmy Kimmel said. Republicans should be praying for God to forgive them. Late night TV host Jimmy Kimmel opened his program Monday night with a 10-minute political rant about Sunday's mass murder in Las Vegas, saying now is the time for political debate about gun control. He also said they should be praying for God to forgive them for letting the gun lobby run this country. I didn't hear any compassion in Jimmy Kimmel, did you? Kimmel railed against lawmakers who won't do anything about this because the NRA has their balls in a money clip. I'm going to read another highlighted portion here. There are a lot of things we could do about it, but we don't, he said, because when someone with a beard attacks us, we tap phones, we invoke travel bans, we build walls, we take every possible precaution to make sure it doesn't happen again. But when an American buys a gun and kills other Americans, then there's nothing we can do about that. Do you see the dripping hatred for his fellow Americans? Do you see the intellectual laziness that makes him boil down a complex, frightening, terrifying, and multifaceted story like what happened Sunday night down to who's white, who's black, who's left, who's right? And he thinks he's being compassionate. By the way, I read that Jimmy Kimmel just boosted his security staff. He just boosted his security staff after this last mass shooting. What I'm wondering is, did he, sorry, there's my paper rustling. What I want to know is, did he ask his security staff to go unarmed? Because after all, guns are bad, unless he's saying that only he has a right to be protected by guns and the rest of us don't. I'm not sure what he's thinking, because I'm frankly not sure he's thinking. So the left is living in La La Land, but they're really not the only ones. They're really not the only ones. There was some horrible, horrible stuff. And I think it's worth talking about. The only reason I don't have more wonderful stuff, stuff that makes sense, stuff that exhibits humanity, is because it hasn't come out yet. There are a lot more stories yet to come. Here is Lena Dunham's tweet. No way not to politicize this tragedy. It's about gender and race, as well as access to guns. Considering it random is comforting and dangerous. So what? What does that even mean? What's random? You mean the shooting of innocent people that he didn't know, or random that it happened, and that if we just do things the way she wants us to do them, suddenly we can stop this problem? Because, of course, it's the gun that did it, not the man who set it up on tripods on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Andy Zeisler, don't know who that is. I don't think I want to know him. White privilege is why the media portrays a mass murder as a quiet country music fan, when they would never do that with a non-white person. I don't know. This is a talk show. I got to say something. But oh my God. So let's see. He's reduced it into white or non-white, because every issue today is about that. Every issue today is about who's white, who's black, who's right, who's left. I think I made my point. Only in America can whiteness prevent the man who conducted the deadliest mass shooting in history, from being called a terrorist. No, I know a lot of people that taught him, that called him a terrorist. We are more likely to be killed by white men with guns in this country than foreign terrorists who claim to be Muslim. Does he have that statistic? Oh, and this is priceless. The NRA is a terrorist organization. There's no other way to see it. Really? And here's one. Here's a professor who blamed the Vegas shooting on class. What is it? The narrative of white victimization, proposed one professor from Drexel University. George Cicchiarello, forgive me, George, if I said your name wrong, a professor of, you guessed it, politics at Drexel University, claimed on Twitter today that a narrative of white victimization led to the deadly massacre. White people and men are told that they are entitled to everything, he tweeted. This is what happens when they don't get what they want. The narrative of white victimization is the spinal column of Trumpism. There it is again. The most extreme form is the white genocide myth. This, by the way, is, I mean, first of all, he sounds mentally ill, because I don't know of any theme of white genocide, that white people are being murdered. But I mean, I'm not even going to dignify this. But here's the same guy, this professor. He's a professor at a university who said a long time ago, last year, it says, all I want for Christmas is white genocide. So he's perpetuating the myth, projecting his own myth, and then telling us that we're responsible for that myth is the reason that this terrible, terrible mass murder happened. Okay, so I think you get the idea. Here's what we've got going on. We've got a lot of people out there who think they know when they don't, because they've jumped to conclusions. We've got the best in America. 8 hours giving blood, heroism, saving lives. They didn't care. I saw black faces in those victims. It wasn't a matter of race and color. That idea, that obsession with race, gender, politics is killing this country. Now, we are allowed to speculate about what's going on, and I have a few speculations. There's a lot we don't know, but what I'm speculating about is a curiosity that I saw. I'm just going to throw this in before their commercial break that's going to happen, in about another few minutes. I'll let my delightful engineer know when that is, so we know we're getting this to work like a fine-tuned clock. Here's my speculation. yesterday I was watching Fox News, and Catherine Herridge was reporting the facts. She is a news reporter, not a commentator. And I don't know if she knew what she was really saying, but she said, I'm sure that those of you who've been following this closely know that ISIS took credit for this not long after it happened, not long after it was reported. Many people were wondering, were they just doing this out of propaganda, or were they doing this because it's true? And Catherine Herridge reported that ISIS is not known to take credit for things that they don't have any involvement in. Oh, but yes, you know, there was that time last year, back in June, this past year in June, when there was a Philippine mass murder, and ISIS did take credit for it, and it turned out to be a disgruntled employee. Of course, that's what they told us. I am not a conspiracy theorist, but today you have to be a little bit of a sleuth and look at the facts and then wait for actual validation that you're right. And we don't know yet. But before that, she had reported on the fact that the shooter, I prefer not to use his name, I don't think he'll be listening right now, but the shooter, when they looked at the guns, when they were purchased, because almost all of them were purchased legally. And just for the record, they were modified illegally, but they were purchased legally. That he had a flurry of gun purchases in June of this past year. And then I started to get these connections. June, the Philippines, his girlfriend was in the Philippines when this happened, and she is from the Philippines. There was an attack that ISIS took credit for in the Philippines when? In June. So I'm just putting that out there as something to watch, not something I think I know. I know nothing, but watch this as it unfolds and see if there isn't some connection. There's also some fairly credible pictures, which the media has not validated. And you have to remember to take the media with a grain of salt, because they've been caught in so many lies that you have to use your own judgment when you decide what to think, what not to think. But do me a favor, don't jump to so many conclusions based in your own head about what your own biases are until you know what the facts are. Anyway, there was some credible information, pictures that I saw myself, and I think you may have too, of the shooter at a anti-Trump rally in Reno in a pink, what we used to call pussycat hat. You know, remember the protest that happened, the pussy hat protest the day after Trump was inaugurated? Well, there was one in Reno sometime after, whenever, and the shooter appeared to be in a pink t-shirt with NASA on it with a pink hat. He was he was next to a Filipino woman that looked very, very much like his Filipino girlfriend. The shooter did work for a defense contractor. The name escapes me at the moment. I know I can think of it. And they do work for NASA, and so they do get a lot of NASA t-shirts. So that's a lot of circumstantial evidence right here that there's an awful lot going on from a an international perspective that we need to pay attention to. All right. Now, there's a link here that I want to bring your attention to before the break, and we're going to get into it. I said at the top of the hour, what's the difference? I mean, what's the connection? If you saw one of my little teases about the show, I asked that question. Is there a connection? What is it between this terrible, terrible tragedy and the NFL controversy that we have been discussing and we discussed at length last week? Well, it's more important than ever, frankly, because what do people do when they are all hit with a terrorist attack? And this country has been attacked on Sunday. Just as in 9/11, this was an attack on the country and on American citizens. Do we know the motive? No. What do? We come together. We sing God Bless America. We sing the national anthem. Our flag does symbolize more than just cloth. And it does unite us in a very divided world. It wasn't just jingoism on 9/12 when you saw flags hanging out of people's windows. It was a sense of pride and a sense of honor that we honor people that have fallen just trying to exercise their freedom. There's so much more. I'm going to get into more about the NFL controversy and how that is deeply and profoundly connected to the national anthem, connected to the Las Vegas shooting that we are discussing. So it's time for a commercial break. Doug, thank you, Doug, my producer, for all that you do at BBS Radio. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
I'm Corinne, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is president of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on the threat of bureaucratic despotism.
One of the chief sponsors of the Dodd-Frank finance reform bill called that legislation, quote, about as important as it gets, because it deals with every single aspect of our lives, end quote. And how does this legislation deal with every aspect of our lives in the most unconstitutional way? It sets up a board called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which has the power to regulate our economic transactions independently of both the President and Congress. In other words, permanent government employees are placed in charge of us beyond the control of those we elect, the control of we the people. This is a violation of the representative form of government without which there can be no constitutional government.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
And we're back. Welcome back to Spouting Off on BBS Radio Station 1. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and we are talking about the terrible massacre in Las Vegas and how the NFL anthem controversy is connected to that. If you'd like to call in, now's the time. I'm going to just keep going on, but I would love to hear your thoughts about this or about anything I said. If you have some other reactions that you'd like to give us, please give us a call. It's easy to do. It's toll-free, 888-627-6008, and Doug will get you right on the air, or I will as soon as I'm done finishing my sentence. And you can also call direct, 323-744-4831. I'm going to go to my thank yous now because I always like to do that well before the end of the show, because sometimes the end of the show isn't enough time to thank all the people that allow me and make it possible for me to do this. This is a great passion of mine. I love being able to talk about the issues with people who also care. So thank you for listening. So first I have to thank the listeners for, Doug told me we actually do have listeners out there, and we're growing every week. So please tell your friends. And the way that you can find us, you can find me, is at www.karencataline.com. And that's spelled the normal way, Karen, KarenKataline.com. And if you know how to spell that, you can find me at Twitter at Karen Cataline or Facebook/KarenCataline. So I match. That's so amazing. Everything matches. I want to thank Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio for making this show possible. It matters. It's important. And you are better off when you're spouting off. That's what you want to do when things happen and when you want to talk to your friends and your family about a terrible tragedy like this and what it all means and how do you protect yourself. And the biggest problem I have in doing this show is being able to drill down as to what to talk about, because there is so much going on in the world today. And how do you wade through it all and decide what, you know, how do I wade through and decide what's most important to me to talk about? So what you hear week to week are the things that get me excited, get me riled up, get me concerned. And I like the discussion and the back and forth of talk radio. In fact, I've loved it since I was 14. Another person I want to thank is Wiley Fox, our technical wizard extraordinaire. He cuts the commercials. He makes our voices sound better. He's absolutely a technical genius, and I love the stuff that he does for this show. Another person whose voice you might be hearing from time to time is Our beloved H.W., a multi-talented guy, so many talents, writes, speaks, does all kinds of things, and he has an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. So thank you to H.W. Now, we're going to go back to what we were talking about. Don't see any calls on the line yet, so please don't be shy. Call in. If you don't, I got plenty to talk about here. All right, so I mentioned that the national anthem is very important. It's more than just a song. By the way, locally here, I'm going to be singing the national anthem on Saturday at a political event, and I am excited and honored to be able to do that. When I put it on my Facebook page and said, I'm going to be singing for this event, I said, and anybody who's kneeling while I'm singing the national anthem is going to be asked to leave the arena. It's not actually arena. It's probably more like a ballroom. But nonetheless, I've sung the national anthem for years, and I've sung God Bless America for years, because my first career was as a professional singer in musical comedies and that sort of thing. Never has the national anthem been this controversial. It should not be political. We talked about that last week. It's not a political issue. It's our anthem. Everybody has an anthem. Watch the Olympics and you'll see that they raise a flag and they raise the anthem. But there's something much deeper going on here. I watched very carefully to see on Monday Night Football. I didn't watch Monday Night Football, but I looked online for the news to see if anybody had the ignorance and the stupidity and the insensitivity. Speaking of insensitive, it's not only the left that gets to make that charge. We get to make it occasionally too. Did any of the NFL players have the insensitivity not to stand Monday night after a massacre in Las Vegas? I wanted to know. Sure enough, Kansas City Chiefs players, Gus Peters and Ukemi Eljue, and forgive me, I didn't say it right, both sat. Can you tell me? I'm getting a little angry here. For the national anthem, the scene turned awkward when the sold-out crowd at Arrowhead Stadium shouted Chiefs instead of Brave to the end of the anthem. You know, the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs? No. It's the home of the brave. So for whatever reason, forgive me. All right, so that's what happened. Two NFL players decided to sit. Now, in order to give them the benefit of the doubt, which I don't really want to do, I'm going to say that they were too ignorant to understand how incredibly insensitive that was. What the American flag and the anthem means is for times like this. It gives comfort and courage. It's true, not fake unity, but true unity. And here's the big question. What's the kneeling supposed to be about, really? Well, they tell us, it's a protest against the police. It's a protest against the racist country. It's a protest against their political views. It's a grievance. It's an injustice. They're protesting grievances and injustices and racism. That's what they say, right? The police officers are all evil and bad until you want them to save you from an active shooter or from planes being flown into buildings that you happen to be in. Or hurricane devastation when you're in Puerto Rico or Houston or Florida. There are lots of police officers that come out and they have sworn to give their lives to save their fellow citizens. So before you go out and are there bad cops? Do I have to say this again? I will. Sure, they're bad everything. We found that out the last couple of days. Is there wholesale rampant police brutality? No, it's a lie. I wrote a guest editorial yesterday. I spent all day writing this editorial. When it is published, I will put it on my website so you can see it. Hopefully they don't change it. And here's some of what I wrote. and I believe this with all my heart, that's why I do this, to refuse to treat an individual or group of people the same as you would treat any other person, including criticism, because of the color of their skin, is the very essence of racism. That's what racism is. You don't criticize people because they're black. You do criticize them because they're white. That's the whole reason. It's not based in fact. It's not based in behavior. It's not based on looking at that person as an individual instead of as part of a group. So in the interest of what one hopes, I'm still reading from what I wrote. I wrote a lot more. It was 600 words. So, in the interest of what one hopes is a refreshing departure, here are some rarely reported facts. One, hands up, don't shoot, was a lie. It never happened. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going into it. If anybody listening would like to challenge me on that and give me facts, I'm happy to take them. But in fact, hands up, don't shoot, was a false narrative, which never happened. Okay. It's been proven that it didn't happen. And yet you have scores and scores of people who believe that it happened and that there is wholesale police brutality directed at black people. And we've talked about this. Why does the media support a narrative they know is false? We're going to set that aside for a minute because we talked about it last week. You can listen to it on the podcast. But it never happened. What did happen, what we know is part of what happened to Michael Brown, is that he reached inside a police officer's police vehicle and tried to grab his gun. All right. So when you say that Michael Brown wasn't armed and therefore he was totally, totally innocent and just a poor little victim, he had just finished robbing a store. He had been caught by police officers. He argued and was belligerent and then tried to grab the police officer's gun. I don't know. I'd say that's a weapon. You don't do that to a police officer. You can get killed. He got killed. Next point. Blacks comprise, now this takes courage to say in today's politically correct world, but I'm going to say it because I don't judge everyone as just black. This is just the fact. Blacks comprise about 13% of the population, but they commit half, I'm going to repeat that, half of all homicides. And most of those homicides are black males. Look at the murder rates in Chicago. Those are mostly black males getting murdered by other black males. Why doesn't the left want to talk about it? Because blacks are always the victims and whites are always the perpetrators. That is an incredibly convenient, intellectually lazy argument to make. But in fact, they're the ones profiling. They're profiling. They're profiling because they're saying that blacks are always the victims and whites are always the perpetrators. Why? Because it suits their political agenda. If you can keep inciting people to feel like victims, then when they do commit murder, they won't feel any remorse. They won't have any contrition because they'll feel like the person deserved it. I take you back to a CBS lawyer who said she has no sympathy for 59 dead Americans because they probably were Republicans. That's stunning. Thirdly, blacks are more likely to kill cops than be killed by cops. How about that? Blacks are more likely to kill cops than be killed by cops. Now, is that the narrative that the mainstream media is pushing? No. Is that the narrative the left would like you to believe? And that Black Lives Matter, to whom blacks lives don't seem to matter very much. Is that what they would like you to believe? No. Here's another thing that someone sent me. Also something you're not supposed to say, but it's factual. If you have a different fact, by all means, please call in and let me know. NFL players have been arrested 855 times since the year 2000. This includes 250 DUI charges, 99 drug charges, 95 domestic violence cases, and 71 assaults and 2 murders. No wonder they don't like the police. That's what was sent to me. I posted it on my Facebook page at Karen Cataline. So no wonder they don't. Criminals never like the police because the police want to stop them from doing what they're doing. I am an enormous fan, and I'm going to just keep mentioning this because I just love the show. And it's starting again fresh on Friday, called Live PD. If you really want to know, without the Hollywood hype and the James Bond and all of that, what really goes on with cops on a daily basis, what they have to put up with, and the amount of restraint that they most always have. And can they snap? Heck yeah, everyone can. But if you see the respect that they show, really some of the dregs of society, and that's every color, every ethnicity, and yet they show restraint. Watch Live PD on Friday and Saturday night on TBS. A totally free commercial on this massive station we have here is Live PD. Years ago, people used to listen to police radio and just listen as the calls came in. This is like that, only you see the video too. They're going to like 5 or 6 different cities all around the country. And you get to see what the policeman sees when he gets out of his squad car and answers a call. It is chilling. I have respect for the average cop who pledges to go to work every day and pledges to protect me. And the dirty little secret is that when law-abiding black citizens are in the quiet and privacy of their own homes, they want the cops there too. Because when the cops decide that they are not going to be appreciated or respected for their job, or they're going to lose their job because of false charges, they stop policing. And who does that hurt? That hurts innocent people of all races. So that's part of the rant right now. I got so worked up, I don't even know where I am in my notes. Okay, so they're saying this is a racist country trying to save everyone. Yes, I saw black faces in the pictures of the dead. Heroism, positive values. People may fall short, but that's what we ought to be striving for, is color blindness, not color obsession. So they want to paint this color as this country as a racist country, but it's not. I'm sorry, it's not. And it's a smear, and it needs to stop. Grievances, I'm speeding along because we are almost out of time. I've got more things to say, and I'm going to say them. This is spouting off. Another reason that they're kneeling for the anthem, is they have a grievance. In the midst of disasters, they're looking to blame others. Ingratitude for what people are trying to do. You know, Trump never gets a break, ever. He's always criticized for anything he says. I totally admit, sometimes I watch him and I say, don't say that, you're just going to get slammed. And he does, he gets slammed. But he's not one to apologize for the way he puts things. He's one to stay true to his principles, like him or not, agree with him or not. He's not part of Washington. I could do 4 hours on him, but we're not going to do that today. He called the mayor of Puerto Rico an ingrate, because she is an avid Hillary supporter and she wanted to smear Trump. She wanted to use more dead bodies to smear Trump. More LDC, liberalist dominated culture. So the grievance industry is never satisfied. Never. Since when did your mother teach you that you should never be grateful? You should never be grateful for what you've got, for what you have been allowed to accomplish. Did you ever? So the complaints that of athletic geniuses who have been celebrated and worshipped in this country, some of them may have come from very bad circumstances, and they've been rewarded in this country with enormous, enormous wealth, but they still have grievances. They have many, many grievances. That's the liberalist dominated culture. They are fighting injustice. Here's another one. Is there no personal responsibility for one's situation? Apparently not if you're of a certain color. Now, there's no personal... Now, if you are white and your family came here three generations ago and they weren't even here in 1865, you are responsible for slavery. You see how it works? Now, it is so sad to have to explain such very basic stuff, but this race-baiting, race politics is going to kill us. When I was growing up, we all strived and probably fell short of color blindness, of trying to look past where a person's ethnicity, the things they can do nothing about, and just look at that person as an individual. But the left never wants to look at anybody as an individual because they don't like individuals who are self-sufficient, who take care of themselves, who take responsibility for their own behavior, good, bad, and ugly. Another thing I want to have time to mention before we end here is that linking arms thing that they wanted to turn it into. This was after last week, after I spouted off last week about the NFL. That linking arms, that's not honoring and pledging allegiance to the flag and to our country. It's still disrespect. If they want fans to change their allegiance to the flag, that's what they want. It makes them right. So what they did there is they tried to bring the fans into it when the fans were the ones that were offended by their behavior. All right? So here's what the rule says. Put your helmet under your left arm, your right hand on your heart. No apologies, no taking responsibility. They did nothing. And they're still breaking the law and being told that it is perfectly okay to break the law of the NFL, I mean, the rules, and they're not getting fined. But as we all know, a person, Colin Kaepernick, didn't get fined for putting pigs on his socks when he started this a year ago. Whose fault was it supposed to be, according to the left? Well, Donald Trump, of course. Either way, football's pretty ruined because asking beer-drinking football fans to link arms like is like asking a bear to roll over and have his belly rubbed. I think the left wants to destroy football, and frankly, they destroy everything they touch. Self-sufficiency, they don't want that. They don't want masculinity. Because masculine people who go out and try to save people who are being threatened, as in Sunday night, now they want them waiting and waiting for the government to help them. Either way, as I said, football's ruined. Just like liberalism ruins everything it touches. They want to turn red-blooded American males into pajama boys. That's what they want to do. They even want to turn massive, hulking, 300-pound football players into pajama boys. This, ladies and gentlemen, is victim politics. Claim victimhood, and you pretty much have accepted the left-wing ideology. So that's my thoughts for this week. I would once again like to invite you to listen to the podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast of Spouting Off. We're a fledgling internet radio program. We're just getting started. I know I'm just getting started. And I would love to build this program until lots and lots of people are listening. So give me your feedback, your thoughts, your questions. You can find me on at www.KarenCataline.com at my website. You can find me on Facebook at /KarenCataline or Twitter at KarenCataline.com. Thanks again to Doug, my producer, Wiley Fox, HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ with a greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when we'll have lots more Spouting Off. That's all for today.